Good morning, pet appreciators. You probably don't recognize this voice very much, but I am Sam. I'm producing the show here. Kathy's running a little bit late, but that's totally fine. There, we got some rain out there, I noticed, but we do have Nicole in here. She is joining us today. How's it going, Nicole?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not too bad. A little tired, but
how's it going?
Well, one thing I could probably start while we wait for Kathy, we had talked a little bit about kind of jumping right into kind of get going on one of the things that I've, you know, had happen in the past week here. And as everybody knows, you know, I run our rescue, Tough Start Rescue, out of the St. Francis Vet Clinic in Isanti. And we had a very sweet, very, very sweet dog come in, and she actually was very, very sick. And, you know, despite her owners trying everything that they could in their power, they just didn't have, you know, the financial means to take care of her. They didn't have a way, you know, to pay anything back. They certainly did not want to euthanize her, so they did end up surrendering her to our rescue. And so she is has spent the weekend at the local emergency clinic. And so her name is Pearl, and she's a beautiful, beautiful yellow lab. She's about 4 years old, and she actually had diabetes, has diabetes. But what happened is her diabetes was so, I guess, untreated that she ended up getting what's called DKA. And what that is just diabetic ketoacidosis, kind of a very severe consequence of having diabetes when the body has, you know, kind of used all stores, all fat stores, things like that, and also starts to use muscle and break down other sources. And obviously that the dogs and cats can get very, very sick. So the other thing that kind of complicated this is that she had given birth to puppies about 5 or 6 weeks prior to this. And so at the time, you know, the owners wondered if she was just becoming skinny because she was nursing and things like that. And they felt so, so bad. But she is wonderful. You know, we've had her in the emergency room since Friday. We've had fundraisers going. You know, her total bill is probably going to be around somewhere to maybe around $3,000 or so dollars. So far, we've raised almost, you know, 2,500 of that with our amazing support groups and fosters and volunteers. And but yeah, so that was, you know, one thing that we were going to touch base on here on the show, just to kind of maybe talk a little bit more about diabetes and DKA.
That's awesome. You said she's going to be okay though in the end, right?
Oh yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so good. They are ecstatic at how she's responding to treatment. Nobody thought she was, we were all very worried if she was even going to make it through the first 12 hours of treatment. So I, you know, checked my phone multiple times throughout the night looking for missed calls. And I just had a pit in my stomach, you know, until I heard about the update from the next morning. And, you know, as we kind of went in the morning, I didn't want to call and pester them because as a vet, we really don't like that. So I tried really hard to be a really good client. You know, just I was shocked when they said they can't believe that she, you know, made it through the first night, and talked to them, you know, yesterday evening and then again this morning, and they're just all blown away. She's eating. She's wagging her tail. The ketones now in her body are gone. So we're just so ecstatic and happy that we could help her. And I know her family was devastated, but they were so happy to have an option other than euthanization.
It sounds like it's ending happy. At least
yeah.
The process
Hi.
Is. Yes. Hi. Yeah. No, I was listening to you on the radio. No, running a little bit late here, Pet Appreciators, and I certainly don't want to interrupt this very interesting story. But I do want to thank Sam so much for starting the show off. Thank you so much, Sam, and to you, Dr. Nicole, as well. Pet Appreciators, I'm Kathy. I'm one of the co-hosts here of the Pet Connection show, but I don't want to interrupt Dr. Nicole. So so this all happened in the last week, you said?
Well, it happened on Friday, so she was one of my earlier, like, midday appointments. And so obviously none of us had any thoughts that this would go that route. But, you know, I saw her for her appointment, you know, did a bunch of diagnostic testing. The owners were able to set up a payment plan and things like that. But, when we found out that she was going to need days of hospitalization, you know, there was just unfortunately nothing that they could do, you know, despite trying various different things. You know, there's a lot of options nowadays. There's a new program called Scratch Pay. There's Care Credit. There's a lot of grants and funding and things like that that can be done. But the sad part of the sad truth of it, I guess I should say, is just that it was just such a sheer volume of unexpected, I guess, needs. And so they were happy to be able, not happy, they were devastated, but they were thankful that we were able to take her and try to get her back to health.
You know, and I'm somebody who's always looking on the bright side, even if there isn't a bright side. I always like to try and look on the bright side. You know, thinking, you know, like giving them time over the weekend. I know that they surrendered, right, her to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
But is there, if they had some time to think about it, talk to relatives and friends, try these different Care Credit and the other one that you mentioned, which I'm thrilled to hear about. Gosh, I didn't know that there was more than one option, so I'm happy. We should talk about that sometime and let everybody know. But is there an option if they can think of a way to help with the payments? Is there an option for her to go back home, or are you thinking that's just not the rules of the rescues? And, you know, because she was in such a tough state coming in, it would be a little risky, you know, to, how do you feel
right
about that?
Right. She was, you know, she was borderline, and it was not intentional. I know that this neglect was not intentional. I know that. I've had a couple of people arguing with me about why I didn't report this and, you know, things like that, but they were not there. You know, they didn't meet the owners and things like that, but you know, they tried all of those other options. I like begged them all day to try to find a friend or a family member who could apply for Care Credit, and all of that. And sadly, the truth is they didn't have any options. They didn't know if they'd be able to afford her diabetic treatment for the rest of her life if she remains diabetic, you know. So there just wasn't a way. And so unfortunately, yeah, once the surrender form is signed, there's nothing that can be done. You know, we've been taking care of her charges all weekend, you know, but it's been amazing the support that our rescue has. And I'll update the owners on Monday, you know, because they were very sad and they will be wanting to know. And so I'll update them and kind of go from there. But they were just so happy she could have a chance.
Oh, exactly. I feel the same way. Now, without being too nosy and overstepping mm-hmm. any boundaries, what was sort of the conversation like? And I don't need to know who with, but what was the conversation like with some people saying, no, this is an abuse case. You need to, you know, like follow the rules with this and you need to report this and this is, you know what I mean? And then like, what was the back and forth with that? I mean, I think many people are in those situations, maybe not many, but it does come up. And like what were the ways that you weighed the pros and cons and what was their position?
Well, they were just devastated. I mean, they cried for hours in the clinic and And so my first reaction was anger. You know, when I saw the dog, I was furious. But of course, trying to, you know, be professional and get the information that we needed. And then I kind of, as I was talking to them, I think they just didn't know. They didn't know that she was that sick. You know, she had some other little injuries and whatnot, like little infections and stuff that I don't think they could see without doing an actual exam. But to me, you know, most pet owners would have noticed that. And I just feel like maybe they weren't, as attentive or, aware, I guess, of all of these things as they should have been. And I think the main problem is that they thought she was becoming skinny from the puppies, which a lot of, you know, female dogs, when they have puppies, they do become very thin. You have to feed them more and you have to make sure they're dewormed and things like that. But I think this just got to a point where it just got to be too much. And I think they had wanted to bring her in and just didn't have the financial means to do so. So, yeah, there were a couple people one person actually sent me a kind of a nasty message at 1 a.m. on my Facebook account and said, you know, why aren't you reporting this? And I just thought, how dare you? You weren't there. And I've reported clients before who, you know, just appeared to not care. But these people truly cared. This was not intentional. They didn't know what they were doing. They shouldn't have, you know, had a dog that had puppies. I think they've learned the hardest lesson, and, you know, none of those people were there to see the regret and the guilt and the hurt in their eyes, you know, and I'm a pretty good judge of character and things like that. And I could just visibly tell that they did not try to do this. You know, this was not intentional.
Right. And I can see no excuses here. I'm not making any excuses. And then I do have a follow-up question about the puppies. And we only have a minute left before going into the commercial break. But so if you don't mind, Dr. Nicole, we can keep talking about this on the other side. But, you know, it's one of those things where it takes time, you know, and commitment to really care for these animals. And some people might think that that's what they're doing, but soon find that there's a lot more required to it. And it can happen with anybody in any economic situation, any sort of living situation. It can just happen. And sometimes it's, you know, just being too busy with other things, you know, a new baby in the house or just suddenly just being too overwhelmed or like you said, sometimes financially just getting in over your head, like, you know, maybe day-to-day feeding and that kind of stuff is okay. But once the medical bills start to pile up, it can be tough, you know, it can be tough. But anyways, we're going into commercial break. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Please stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion, is excited to announce the opening of its new store, located off Broadway and 35W in Northeast Minneapolis. Now, here's what we're going to do at our new store. We're going to sell all the best brands at guaranteed unbeatable prices. Then we're going to deliver and install them right and fast. It's been a long time since a new appliance store opened in the city of Minneapolis. You can see us from the highway. We're on the east side of 35W, next to Boyer Ford. Come for a visit soon.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for the Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, the Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM 950.
Thanks for for sticking with us, Pet Appreciators. And again, welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Kathy Menard and Dr. Nicole Perrault, your regular hosts here on the Pet Connection Show. And before we continue on with the topic that I find very fascinating, Dr. Nicole, so I'm glad you decided to share this. I just want to take a moment here and just say, hey, happy Pride to you, Twin Cities. Happy Pride to everybody. And I hope that you're out there having a great day, embracing who you are and celebrating who you are. And so I just want to say happy Pride before we continue on with our conversation. So, but Dr. Nicole, you know, what about those puppies? Do you feel any sort of obligation to follow up with those puppies? I mean, are the puppies old enough now that they've already been adopted out? I mean, what, knowing what you know about what the family can handle, and also knowing that you do believe that they care, that they're just in a little bit over their heads, what comes next? What do you think is your responsibility, and where did that all end up?
Yep, that's a great question, and I know that the puppies are being sold. Very soon, they've been weaned from their mom for a while, I think. I don't think she probably had enough milk to feed them with being so sick, and maybe that was another thing that wasn't known to the owners, but they're eating on their own. I am going to touch base and follow up with them, you know, this on Monday just to see, okay, let's see, do we know that they need to be vaccinated? You know, make sure they're dewormed. How are they doing? Yeah, I definitely feel a very strong sense of connection to them, and to help, hopefully help further educate, you know, the family so that they're making the best decisions for where the puppies go and whatnot. But yeah, so I know that the puppies are healthy. I haven't met them personally myself.
Right, right. So you don't know if they've been to a vet yet or not, but they've all been sold.
I know that they came into our clinic when they were very young, just for a quick exam. I wasn't the doctor at that point, and they were given a dewormer and things like that. So that's about the extent. And then as far as I've seen pictures of them and things like that, and they look healthy, happy, adorable. but again, I still want to make sure that we're setting them up on the road for health with where they're going.
Right, right. And, you know, I just want to, as is probably obvious to all the listeners, you know, when they listen to you talk, but I just want to take a moment and just say, Nicole, you are appreciated. You know, you're a veterinarian, and, you know, your office hours are such and such to such and such. But yet you run this nonprofit, this rescue group. And then, you know, there's so much more to that, too. Like each client, it's not like you come in the door, you take care of everything, you shut the door, and then you're done. You know what I mean? It's like this sort of continuum. And I, you know, I'm the same way with my clients, but I just want to say that you are very appreciated. And I understand how that is sometimes that requires extra effort, obviously, extra time on your part. That can be tiring. That can be draining, you know, when you're giving all day and then you got the rescue group, you know, to do on the side. And then that one or two extra families, you know what I mean? That kind of still need a little bit, and you feel obligated and not just, you know, shutting the door and saying, well, you know, I did my part, c'est la vie. You know, all the best to them or whatever, or we'll wait till they come in the next time. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do if you chose to do that. But I just want to take a moment and just say I recognize that. I recognize that that's time away from your family, time away from your quiet time, time away, you know, whatever. And yet it's giving. And I just want to say it's not for naught. Is that – what the heck is that saying?
Oh,
it's not
you.
For nothing or something like that. So I just wanted to say that, you know, because I know that – yeah. Whatever. So, but it's good to know the puppies, and they're all sold, right? So,
I don't know the specifics on all of that yet, mm-hmm. but I do know that they were going to their new homes within a week or two.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because that's a huge financial strain as well, taking care of puppies. Yep. Yep. Well, is this dog, Pearl, is she going to be up for adoption through Tough Start?
She is going to be eventually, yes.
Okay. All right. So anything you want to share about that or promote about that, in case there's anybody that is ready to really, quote unquote, rescue a wonderful dog and begin a new life for her?
Yeah, we're just kind of waiting to see, you know, what she shows us here. You know, she'll need to be spayed. We're not even sure if she's going to be a long-term diabetic. You know, we don't, it's very weird and odd for a four-year-old dog to become diabetic. And so, you know, we're just kind of seeing, you know, did she get really bad pancreatitis and then it, you know, led to her becoming diabetic. And then the diabetes led to the DKA, which led to the emaciation. And, the, you know, it's like, it's just this domino effect. And so, she's a small lab. She only weighs about 40 pounds. I think she should probably weigh maybe around 50. She's very petite. But, you know, it's funny, the last three dogs we've actually taken into our rescue have been registered AKC dogs. And so it just goes to show you that these purebred dogs, I mean, they do often end up in rescue groups. And I think a lot of people think that they don't, but they absolutely do. I just think it's very odd. And of course, we never care. You know, we don't care if they're 75 different mixes, you know, or if they're just, you know, an AKC dog. We don't care at all about that. But I thought it was weird that the last three dogs we took in, all came with, you know, registered papers. And I just thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah, because you think if they're going through all that, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like, I'm not even accustomed to even looking at some of those forms because you never see them, you know? And so when you get them, I'm like, oh, okay, you're a fancy breed too. You're a fancy breed. You know, it's just like, I don't, but we, like we said, we don't care what they're mixed with, and whatnot. I just thought it was a little bit strange that the last three were actually AKC registered dogs, but, and all three are doing fine. And, I think I've talked about Charlie. He's a little Maltese. He's about 10 years old. He's really cute. He's possibly going to be looking for a new home if his fosters haven't fallen head over heels in love with him, which, judging from the photos, I'm guessing he's not going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
And then Max was another yellow lab. We talked about him. He had his surgery for his torn ACL, and I keep in touch with his owners. She's just super happy that he's doing well, and he'll be looking for a home too soon. And then we have Pearl, and I'll be definitely keeping in touch with her owners, too, just to keep them posted because they were very, very sad. But, yeah, so we're still kind of feeling her out. Just, you know, she won't be available for adoption for quite some time. But eventually, if anyone's looking for a beautiful little Labrador, she'd probably be a good fit. I don't know, again, if she will be diabetic long-term or not, though.
You know, seriously, pet appreciators, if you are thinking about this, there's something about that Pearl that just, you know what I mean? There's just something about
precious.
Yes, yes. And I just have that feeling that she's ready to begin her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's just ready to begin her life. No offense to the owners that she had, you know, not at all, but she, you know, she's a young dog. Right. She's ready to be, she's ready to live the life of a lab. And, you know, whoever adopts her, you know, I think will be a very rewarding experience for them. So I'm just, I'll be curious to see how that all goes and where she ends up. That's for sure. Oh, pet appreciators.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, at commercial time again here. But, you know, isn't it true, pet appreciators, that many dogs and cats get a second chance? And I think people, too. Many people out there are starting their second chances as well. So I'm just wishing everybody a good day here, pet appreciators. I'm just all touchy-feely today. Stay with us, and we'll see you on the other side.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the logic of regret.
If you regret doing something, you can't be happy about any of the consequences of it.
So if you're happy about something, you can't reasonably regret any of the events that led to it?
Exactly.
I wouldn't exist if there hadn't been an Irish potato famine. Do you regret my existence, or are you happy about the Irish potato famine?
I regret that you can't think more clearly about these things.
A logic of regret, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more. Visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, can we really know what it felt like to live in historical times? The human and other dimensions of Trump's child abuse, Puerto Rico's financial overlords, and why it's time to abolish our ICE deportation force. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we'll see increasing clouds with a high near 81, while tonight will be cloudy with a low around 64. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high near 77, Tuesday cloudy with a high near 76, and Wednesday mostly sunny with a high near 82. Blue Skies Services is the home cleaning company for you. Wash windows, siding, gutters, roofs, and more. Call Blue Skies Services at 651-447-4484 and ask for the AM 950 special. More details at blueskiesservices.com.
Welcome back, pet appreciators. Welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Again, thanks for sharing your Sunday morning here with us. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. We appreciate your pets. And we appreciate your time. And hopefully you get a little nugget of something out of here, out of our show each week that you can take and sort of put in your pocket, so to speak, and carry it with you until you need that little bit of info or that little bit of support or that little bit of extra knowledge or that little bit of an idea. To help you be the very best pet owner that you can be. I know that we all strive to be that way. And sometimes we make it, sometimes we don't. But always get up the next day and try to be not only the best person, but the best pet owner that you can be for the pet that you have at this moment, your forever pet. And hopefully, you know, it works out to be your forever pet. But Dr. Nicole, thanks again for sharing that story. I just have a feeling that Pearl has a whole new world waiting for her, and I'm excited for her. I don't know what it's going to be or who it's going to be with, but Pearl, hang in there because your life is just beginning. That's for sure. So,
yeah.
Although Dr. Nicole has a story where a life was just ending as well, and that was a week or two or three ago. And I'm curious to hear about that. We have not had a chance to talk about it, but Dr. Nicole was part of a at-home euthanasia. And was it the first one that you did, Dr. Nicole? Because I know you texted me afterwards and said, Kathy, I got to talk about this. and so this is our chance here, and we can talk about it if you still feel the need to, Dr. Nicole.
Sure, yes. Yeah. So
I actually do a lot of euthanasias at home for people.
Okay.
I feel like it's definitely the best way to, I guess, say goodbye without their animals being scared. I mean, that's what I certainly did for my cat Dolly, you know, and that's what we did for Grant's cat Daisy. And so, you know, I had never met this man before, and he had called and said, you know, I've been calling veterinary clinics for 4 days. You know, I've already dug the grave for my dog. She's suffering. And I was like, and he was disabled, like partially disabled. And I just felt so, first of all, furious that no one could help him in 4 days. It's fine if a lot of clinics don't do that. I think that's just fine. Obviously, that's their choice. But I know that there are other options out there. So, and I know that he probably could have found someone to come out there, but I think that some of them don't go that far out. He was north of our clinic a little ways. And so I was so thankful that someone had called. He had called another clinic, and they had told him about our clinic that we do that. And a couple of us do them routinely, but I do them often, and it's nice to be able to, you know, let them go, like I said, at home where they're not scared, where it's very peaceful and whatnot. They're at home in their own beds and things like that. And so when I drove in to the yard, you know, I saw this gentleman, and he was just sitting there. And then I looked over and I saw the dog just kind of lying in the yard, and she was breathing, I could tell. Just a beautiful yellow lab. And, you know, we sat and talked for just a little bit because she was sleeping. And, you know, he just said how thankful he was. He couldn't believe it. And I guess what stuck with me is that he said he had loaded his gun and just couldn't do it. And I just thought, oh, my goodness. Like, thank God he called our clinic and we were able to help him, because you could tell the pain in his eyes. Like, he wanted to help his dog. He didn't have anybody to help him get her in the car to take her anywhere. And he couldn't find anyone to help him to come out there. And so, you know, we went and sat by her and we talked for, you know, quite a while, just petting her. It was just a beautiful evening, and she was just kind of sleeping, and I could tell that she had a tumor in her abdomen that had probably ruptured, you know, so she was definitely, I mean, she would have died, you know, but a slow, probably terrible death had he not, you know, reached out to someone. And then the way that we do it is we always give them a little sedative under their skin so that they kind of like go fast asleep. They're almost like snoring. They're so peaceful. You know, there's pain control in that. And then when we feel that the animal is ready enough, then we'll give the final injection in her vein. And, you know, and then everything went fine. It was very, very peaceful. And, you know, I helped him, you know, I mean, I was bigger than the man, you know, and I helped him, bring her out to her little gravesite and whatnot. And it was very, very like bittersweet, you know, that I could help him, that he was able to help his pet end her suffering, you know, cause it was weighing on him. He just didn't have any options. And I can't imagine having that desperate, painful feeling when your dog is looking at you for help. And then the thing that was just so neat about it is when I left, he said he had a gift for me, and I was like, oh, you don't have to do that. You know, he said, well, I don't have a lot of money, but, and he gave me this four leaf clover.
Oh.
And it was like a real four leaf clover, and it had been like pressed. It was like beautifully flat. And I mean, obviously this man doesn't know me. He doesn't know that I think that is really cool, you know? So it was just like, I don't know. It was like one of the coolest things I've ever received. And I just thought, this has been the weirdest, not weirdest, but just like bittersweet, kind of meant to be type of situation. And it just, I don't know. I just drove away in tears, you know, like this for just several reasons. Like I just kind of was overwhelmed with emotion for this whole thing. But yeah, so she was able to be put to rest at her own home, and her dad didn't have to worry anymore. And then, yeah, the four leaf clover was just kind of like, ah. So, but yeah, it was just a very, very unique experience for me.
Oh, it sounds that way. I mean, I'm just like, I just don't even know what to say. It's like you just want to absorb it. I mean, I feel like I'm on that, I don't know if it was a dirt road, but I felt like I was just kind of watching. You know, as you were talking, I was just like watching from the dirt road, and, you know, I could see bushes, and I could see the dog in my mind. The dog was on the right, the man was on the left, and, you know, the communication,
exactly.
And, you know, just, you know, how you would sort of introduce yourself to the dog and make sure she wasn't afraid of you. And at the same time, you know, with the man, and just when he brought up the whole thing of my gun is loaded, but I can't do it. You know what I mean? It's just like you just know that for days he's been, you know, he's been thinking about this and trying to get help. And then he had the grave dug, and oh, my God.
Yeah, and there was a neighbor not too far away, and I thought, well, do you have neighbors that could help you if you ever need help with something? And he's like, yeah, I don't really know them, but he said, I couldn't ask them to help with this because he said they just put their dog to sleep, and I didn't, you know, want them to be sad. So it's like he was looking out for everyone but his situation. And it was not the first time that I've gone to a home with an older person and they've told me that they just couldn't do it on their own this time. You know, they couldn't, you know, end their life, you know, with a gun or whatnot. And I feel like in a way we're evolving to knowing now, like for more people to know that is just not okay. And that there are so many peaceful, humane ways that veterinarians can help in this field, in this situation. And I feel like more and more, that's what I'm hearing. You know, we're more and more going out to homes of elderly people, who grew up, you know, euthanization was a different method. And so I guess I'm thrilled and I'm just thankful that we're getting there, for the most part. But yeah, I was just so incredibly happy to help him. And I just felt like that four leaf clover was, I don't know. It was just a very emotional thing. And I love that thing. It's just beautiful. If I found that on the ground somewhere, I'd be just ecstatic. You know, so, you know, to not know someone and to give them something that is super important and special, I just thought that was, it was just very odd. I don't know the other, I'm struggling to find the words. Odd is not correct, but it's just very, I don't know, emotional and meant to be.
Very much so. And I feel the same way. And I'm sure the listeners do too. Yeah. There are no words. Yeah, so. It's just one of those that you just kind of see it in your mind and, you know, you can.
I know. And then.
Go ahead.
Well, and then I worry too about him, you know, not having any family or really anyone. And she was his only friend. And that just, you think about him and you think about, you know, how was that first night? How was the next morning? You know, all the days going past. It just, just makes me so sad. I just hope that he finds another little friend. I don't care if it's a bunny or, you know, something in his yard that he can take care of, because I just, I feel so terrible when people who live alone lose their best friend. I just think that's just gut-wrenching to me. And, you know, there's nothing I can really do about it, you know, aside from checking in on him and, you know, seeing how it's going. But it's also like, you know, you don't generally know the man, you know, he doesn't probably want to be bothered with that, but it's just, yeah, there's a lot of emotional things that go into, to these things, because when you go to their homes, it is, you feel like you're being invited into their life, you know, and it's very hard just to put that away when you drive away.
Yeah. And the whole, thing with the four leaf clover, like that's what he wanted to give you. And just to think what that really meant to him, you know, this is not like money doesn't live in this existence in that situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a pay for service kind of thing. It was a surreal moment that is rare. And because I think it's so rare that there aren't always words in the language to find out or to describe it. It's sometimes just something that your soul works through, you know?
Yep.
It's just something that souls amongst each other understand, you know, the soul of the dog, the soul of the man, and your soul. And it wasn't necessarily on a purely, you know, human level. It was more the souls were part of that.
Yep.
Very interesting. Boy, that'll stick with me for a long time.
I hope he's doing okay, and I'm so glad that sweet dog is at peace. And yeah, it was a tough one, definitely.
Yeah. And just think about, you know, I don't know. Do you know how old she was?
I think she was around 10.
It's a long time.
And she had wandered onto his property, you know, 9 years before that. And, you know, was a stray, and he had, you know, scanned her for a microchip, tried to find her owners to no avail. And she actually had to have a big surgery way back in the day. I think she must have had like a pyometra or something, because he said that she had a uterine problem and she needed to be spayed. And so I'm guessing that's what happened. So she could have been even older than 10, he told me like her little routine every day. She'd walk down to the mailbox, and she had a certain spot where she'd only go potty. She didn't go potty in the yard. It had to be out in the woods somewhere, you know, and it just, they lived right by a pond. So, you know, for a lab, she probably quite enjoyed that. And she did. She looked very peaceful, you know, just kind of sleeping there in the yard, but I could tell that she needed help. And, it was sad thinking about, you know, he was so in tune to her routine, since, you know, he was disabled and partially disabled. And so they just had each other, you know, so.
Right. And that's one of the beautiful things of this story, is just a man and his dog and the life that they shared.
Yep.
Pet Appreciators, please stay with us.
When you think of a Russian souvenir, I bet that Matryoshka, the nesting doll, is the first thing that comes to mind. I'm happy to say that our exhibition of these Matryoshka dolls, which delighted thousands of families over the holidays, has been extended through August 11th. Whether you're from Moscow or Mankato, you'll be stunned by the variety, shapes, and intricate details of this massive collection. Deals on Groupon. Visit us today or online at tmora.org.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about what makes for an idealist. I'll also share about getting hired for my first real job where I could finally be my true idealistic self. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Would you or your organization like to become better storytellers? The Uptake can help. Learn from the best teachers in Minnesota when it comes to writing, photography, audio documentary, or live video streaming. I'm personally teaching the live video classes. We're offering classes on Saturdays in June. There's a charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. Space is limited, so register now at theuptake.org/classes. That's theuptake.org/classes and learn to storytell like a pro.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options, or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Well, I don't know about you, Pet Appreciators, but I know I shed a few tears there during the break listening to Dr. Nicole's story. It's hard to come back and be all cheery when you're trying to, you know what I mean? Don't cry, don't cry. But what a beautiful story that is. And it just, you know, it just, again, you know, you enter more of the soul world than the people world. And it just reminded me, too, that, you know, people can have so many different lifestyles and experiences with their pets and how meaningful that is and how important that you define your life with and your lifestyle with your pet the best way that you know how and what works for you. You know, I just can't stress that enough. And I just don't think I'm doing a very good job of it right now. But, you know, pet ownership is not a trendy thing. It's about you living your life with your animal's life and finding out how your personalities and your needs are going to mesh. And it's not a trendy thing, you know, and it's not just for a couple years and then, you know, your life changes and then you kind of got to move on and the dog or the cat needs to move on. This is, you know, what's really rewarding about pet ownership is the life that you live together. And just define it in your own way, you know, pet appreciators. That just sticks in my mind so much after hearing Dr. Nicole's story about this elderly man. That's why it was so meaningful, was because they had their own life. It was their own relationship. It wasn't a trendy thing. It was a life. And that's what I'm going to take away from that. And there's so many dogs and cats out there, you know, like we talked with Tough Start. You know, they're in rescues right now, and they're waiting to start another life, you know what I mean, and not being in some sort of a holding pattern. And that reminds me, too, of the fundraiser that we had a wonderful gentleman on from Twin Cities Rescue last week, and I promised I would bring it up again. So Pet Appreciators Twin Cities Pet Rescue, they've got one of their summer concert series at a local brewery in St. Paul, Flat Earth Brewing Company. Sounds like they have a great space outdoors and a great space indoors, so it doesn't really matter the weather. From 2 o'clock until 8 o'clock, you know, today. And they've done a ton. They've been around for a long time. Twin Cities Rescue, I'm sure that's almost a household name here in the Twin Cities. But whatever support you can do, I know that they've got a raffle. They've got some beanbag toss games going on. One band for sure, maybe two. So if you're into local music, it's another thing you can support as well. So I just want to say, if you're looking for something to do today, rain or shine, Twin Cities Pet Rescue has Rock 4 Rescues 2 to 8 p.m. today, Flat Earth Brewing Company over in St. Paul. And they have other summer concert series too. So, you know, check out their website, TwinCitiesPetRescue.org. And you can find out what they've got going on with some of their summer concert series, which is, I think, is a really cool thing. Okay, so
sounds fun.
Yeah, doesn't it sound fun? I miss out on so much of that stuff. You know, I carve out, you know, 8 hours for Petapalooza every day, but, you know, usually I just have, you know, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, maybe an hour there, and it's hard for me to, like, break away just because, you know, there's clients to attend to, and I'm just so overly crazy dedicated to that. So but there's so many wonderful rescues doing so many wonderful things, and you know, whatever we can do to give them a helping hand, that's great. So as I wipe away the tears, that was a hard one.
Sorry.
No, but that's a joy.
I felt driving away.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do with myself.
Well, it takes a while. It's like you got to let it soak into your skin and your heart and your soul. And you know what I mean? Because it's not a regular.
It's like a movie.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a regular interaction. It just isn't. There was something more there. And I'm glad that you got to experience that and share it with us. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, Pet Appreciators is, you know, just about 4 minutes left. So if anybody has any questions, comments, things they want to just shout out, announcements or anything, now is the time. 952-946-6205. Thank goodness the radio station is so smart. And they put the phone number right in front of my face. So no need to memorize that. I got as far as 95, and then it was like, where's that sign? 952-946-6205. You're always welcome to join our conversation. You know, one thing that I do want to ask you, Dr. Nicole, and we can certainly talk about this later, too, if we don't have time now, but, you know, I'm pretty particular with food, with pet food, but I've got a dog right now who he's definitely in his last stage, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I think I'll be on overload then and I won't be able to finish the show. But right now I'm just doing whatever I can to get him to eat. And he's still pretty much eating the same amount. And he's in stage 4 kidney failure. So there's no getting better. And we've seen the progression over the last couple years. But this is probably the last stage that we go to in terms of getting him to be stable or whatever in this new stage. Because after that, I think I owe it to myself and to him to question, you know, that old question of quality of life versus quantity. So I think that that's the next stage or whatever. But he... You know, so I'm doing whatever I can because, you know, he does have a little bit of nausea and he still, again, eats the same amount pretty much every day, but it has to be in like 8, 9, 10 intervals instead of just like 2 feedings. And extremely picky, but I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way because I know that he just can't have a whole lot in his tummy. It just doesn't feel good. So I'm trying everything, and I'm going to embarrass myself with what I've been trying, okay? And I guess I just want – I'm going to say a type of food, and you just say, or that's okay. All right? Is that okay, Dr. Nicole? All right. So
well, I can tell you off the bat that I wouldn't – I think whatever he eats right now is fine. I don't care if you take him to McDonald's. That's what I tell people.
Really? You say that?
Yep.
No.
I do.
Dr. Nicole?
Yep. Any
you?
Food that they, when they're in their end stages like that and they just, and they're not eating the foods that we want them to eat or they should eat, I just feel like just let them eat what they want.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to McDonald's.
Yeah. But Dr. Nicole said.
Okay. So one scrambled egg all by itself, microwaved. That's okay? Just say no or yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Going to Cub Food, Byerly's, Kowalski's, wherever, and buying packaged Hormel or what's the other brand? I don't know. But I recognize the package, and I like the Tupperware so I can reuse that of oven-baked turkey slices.
Yep. You're not going to find a food that I'll say no to unless it's something toxic to them.
Okay.
I just want them to eat when they feel crummy like that at the end
well,
there.
What about the same thing, but it's a different brand. I forget what brand it is. Sandwich slices really thin slices of roast beef. I worry about the sodium. I'm like, but I was thinking like kidney failure, you know, he had that issue with iron. I was like, well, roast beef has iron in it. Oh, but the sodium content. So then I'm like buying the least amount of sodium in the roast beef sandwiches or slices. Yay or nay?
Oh, like I said, I would feed him anything he will eat so that he enjoys eating and being happy. If he's doing that poorly now, I would feed him whatever he wants. Even you make a mistake if he wants it.
Okay. I think she answered my question 4 times, but of course I second guess myself.
You feed him whatever he wants.
Okay. Not McDonald's. Okay. Pet appreciators, we care about you. Have a really great week with your pets. And thanks for spending Sunday morning with us. Bye-bye. Happy Pride again.